is the Day Zero update for January 28th, 2018. I am Filippo D'Anolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Dan Red Victoria.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Lee Lamb.
And we got a packed house this week, which is good because pretty much nothing happened. So,
Yeah,
we'll just have to like make do with what we got. it's been an interesting week in some aspects. Evo Japan is going on with, or did it just end?
It may have just wrapped up.
Yeah. So the results.
Yeah, Info. I read Infiltration 1, Street Fighter 5.
Yep. And he posted on Twitter, I'm not back. I never left.
Yeah, some people, I read something because, you know, fighting game people are shady. A lot of us. That they were saying that the reason he's back now is because I guess he got divorced, which is horrible. But, you know, that's what you expect from the fighting game community.
Yeah. So we'll get to that later. But anyways.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, good times. So we've been doing some stuff this week, and I guess I'll start us off with I've been playing some more old arcade games lately. Going back to the classics, you know, like Smash TV, Robotron.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, those other ones. Crap. Yeah, playing a little bit of Sinistar, because that game is just really, really good. Also, ridiculously difficult.
What are you playing them on?
No, MAME.
Okay.
Yeah, so just got that set up and been poking around with that. But I got addicted to this 1983 Gottlieb game called Mad Planets. It's kind of like a free-roaming style shooter where you can move all around the screen and change direction, and kind of like an Asteroids-type game.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It's similar to that, only instead of asteroids, you're shooting at planets who are incredibly pissed off for some reason.
Then.
Yeah, they're mad. First, I don't know why, but they are.
Reasons.
So, you have to deal with them, and that means you have to shoot down their moons to make them vulnerable. So
naturally.
Naturally, yeah. So doing that will piss them off even more. But then you can shoot them and blow them up. So that's kind of fun and ridiculous and amazing at the same time. It's got that early 80s Bally Midway Gottlieb style sound, that really deep bass type type of the sound effects there. It's great. I highly recommend people check that one out. It's finding an actual cabinet of this is probably going to be pretty difficult because it's apparently pretty rare now. But it's on MAME, and hopefully it'll end up in arcade archives or something at some point, because I would like to have a legal way of playing that properly.
Yeah.
So,
That's been me. How about you, Pat?
All of the fighting games. I'm still playing Street Fighter V Arcade Edition and Dragon Ball FighterZ toward the reviews. I did finally get my copy of Dragon Ball FighterZ, no thanks to UPS. And then I've been continuing to take part in a couple of Twitch events called Downright Fierce on Friday nights and Monday Night Fightcade on Monday nights for Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. So that's become a real thing, and it's really consistent with a project that we're currently working on that we'll probably be ready to make some more announcements on pretty soon. So stay tuned for that.
So is Dragon Ball good?
I like it. I don't know if it's great. Going to become it's too early to tell if it's going to be a part of my regular gaming practice, but it definitely fills a void that is there in the current fighting game landscape, and it does it in such a way that, I mean, I couldn't stand Marvel vs. Capcom 2 because it was just too ridiculously fast, and it was...
Yeah, you had to be a crackhead to play that game, probably.
Yeah, and...
Speed freak.
I don't get that from Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Okay.
And so, you know, Lee, I don't know if you're going to be at Final Round this year. I'm sure it's going to be there.
Yeah.
Just take an opportunity to give it a try and just make a decision based on hands-on experience, because there's a lot left to digest to this game. And I'm pretty sure none of us have seen everything yet.
Yeah.
So, but right now I'm quite pleased with it.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a look. I saw somebody make fun of it online where they were like, "This looks just like an episode of Dragon Ball Z, and it just had them powering up in the corners until the time ran out."
Which you can do, but actually, you shouldn't be able to do that because it should stop you charging once you hit 7 bars.
Okay.
So
that could be the magic of them editing the video, but I laughed my ass off.
But yeah, I'm enjoying myself so far with it, and I really think Arc System Works has something special on their hands because it's appealing to both your typical core Dragon Ball fan base that buys pretty much everything that's branded that way, and it's appealing to the fighting game community. So I will alert people not to be at all surprised when they see the sales for this game are ungodly.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And Dragon Ball seems to be just having a resurgence in general.
Yeah, well, Super has a lot to do with that. And I don't know, I wish Super had more of a presence here, but there's DLC to consider. I'm sure by the time everything settles, we'll have a really well-rounded roster. Yeah, that's been my week. I've been thoroughly enjoying everything I've been playing.
All right. Well, as for me, I'm still playing Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I'm now sort of past the midway point and just recently had a serious holy crap moment, story-wise. Other than that, I'm also playing
golf. They're able to lay those on you.
Yeah. Also playing Golf Story on my Switch.
That's a great game.
Yes, it is. It is. It's one of those games that basically is like, logic? What's that?
Yeah. It makes me wish they would do a proper Mario Golf. Like in the old GameCube style. Like, I need that. The one on 3DS wasn't enough.
Yeah.
They even have the wind in the air, just like Mario Golf. When I played that, I was like, I think I'll stick with this.
And so, yeah, Golf Story is a lot of fun. Surprisingly funny and well written.
Well, I think a game like that would have to be the source of much levity.
Yeah. Basically, it's a golf RPG, basically. You basically start out at this place called Wellworn Grove, which is a golf course that has seen better days. It's overgrown.
It's pretty hood from how you've described it.
Yeah, it's infested with mole rats. And then at one point, you find out the reason there's so many mole rats there is because a couple of neighborhood goth kids have done some demonic ritual to put them under mind control so they can summon an undead army. And you have to put down that undead army with what else? Golf balls.
Wow. Logic? That doesn't exist here.
But it makes sense when you picture it on a Nintendo system.
Yeah. And then other than that, I am currently downloading Warframe on my PS4. Because I don't know if anybody's noticed, but that game's been around since, what, like 2012, 2013?
Yeah, it's been a while.
At least since PS4 launch.
Yeah. And now, all of a sudden, as of late last year, it's suddenly people are starting to pay attention.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well,
the big update that added the big open worldish area.
Yeah, and I was like, well, it's free, so screw it. Why not give it a shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real good.
Good 31 gigs, though. So
what?
Yep. Yeah, that game maxes out as much as it can do.
Mm-hmm. So if you're going to do it, make sure you got some space prepared.
God, 20, how much did you say, 31 gigs?
31 gigs, yeah.
God, that seems almost quaint compared to the crap that I've been installing on my PC lately. Like, oh, everything's 100 gigs, why not?
Yeah. But Warframe, for those who don't, is basically, I think Jim Sterling said it best, is that Warframe is like Destiny 2, only it doesn't suck. So,
yeah, that comparison is being made. Multiple people are making that comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah, Destiny sounds like a shit show right now.
It is literally, it is in danger of going under.
It is literally nothing but, listen, we're going to fuck you in this one particular way. But you guys don't seem to like that. And we didn't think, you know, that you would like that. We don't know what we were thinking. I mean, yeah, we were going to do that, but we just thought you wouldn't notice. So sorry. And then next week, it's literally the same apology. Like, I think at this point they have a template written out in Outlook, and they just have what the issue is as an underlined area.
Responses.
And then, yeah, and then they just click on that and type in what the actual issue is this time.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what I've been playing. So, Dan Rip.
Yeah. So at work, we have one of those cabinets that pretty much have every arcade game in it, and we've been playing a whole lot of tournaments, Cyberball 2072, because we have our own in-office league, and it gets pretty damn competitive. And it turns out we're really just practicing for another tournament that'll be happening in Santa Clara in a few months. Phil knows about it, the California Extreme.
CAX.
Yes. So. Yeah, so we normally have that tournament here, and we plan on entering it this year. So, yeah, that game really isn't talked about all that much, and it's been brought back on several platforms like Xbox Live Arcade, but that version has been absolutely garbage because it only has co-op, no competitive, and honestly, the best way and only way to play it is two-on-two humans against humans. So, yeah. Great game, a whole lot of depth to it that I really didn't think that could possibly happen when it was released. But yeah, there's a whole lot of strategic stuff that keep us coming back, so it's fun. I've also been playing Undertale. I've reached the final boss, and I'm not at a give up point.
Please, no spoilers, sir. I just started. Yeah. My child will kill me if I don't make it through that.
No problem. Yeah, I've gotten up to this point without killing anything.
Yeah.
So pretty proud about that, except, yeah, this last boss is extremely tough.
Is this I'm not going to do any spoilers. Is this the one that destroys the mercy option or the one that comes after that? The mercy option, yeah, you do have to.
Damn it, there's more?
Yeah, you do have to actually physically fight them.
I thought the game was only like 6 hours long. My kids played it like 40 times. He's talking about genocide runs and mercy runs and this run and that run. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, now, after you do fight, now after you do finish that fight, you can, of course, spare him. So,
I'll tell you what, though. I platinumed it. So the fact that I platinumed it without beating it is not a good thing because it makes me think I'm done. So,
there's actually – okay, so let's see. Just you're doing the mercy run, right? Okay, Yeah, so after you finish the mercy run, after that's over, you're going to have another boss fight that's going to come after that. And then that's going to end, and then basically there's going to be something that's going to happen between then and there, and you're going to you can basically restart. And then you'll get to what's basically the true ending. It's complicated. Just get in contact with me. I'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah. Is this something where I have to beat more than three times to get a true ending for?
No. Just you have to do this, and then there's another time, and then you get to fight the actual boss. And
okay, that's all I was wondering.
One of those.
It's not like a Nier Automata thing where you have to go through it like 3-4 times.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I guess that was the main concern. I don't know though, like if I were to play this 2 years ago, it probably still wouldn't have made my top 10 list. Like I see the humor in it. I see some of the feels in it, but I don't know. At the end of the day, like the story hasn't really clicked for me, but we'll see what happens as I get to that ending.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to people I know that if you don't get into the story, then you're just a heartless bastard. So how does that make you feel better?
Well, that would be me.
Oh, well. I'm also playing Lost Sphere at the moment. I'm honestly less than like half an hour in. This first part is the same part as the demo from San Diego Comic-Con, so there's nothing to speak of here. My one complaint about the game is I kind of wish they just went back to 8, 16, 32-bit, mainly because, I don't know, I'm just not really amazed by whatever visual prowess to go into.
Maybe do a slight mania with it.
Yeah. Like, I know it's supposed to be a classical RPG in modern times, but I don't know. Like, it just doesn't carry the whimsical value that the SNES games did so far. But it's classic Tokyo RPG Factory, and that'll be enough to push me forward. Also, I am playing Dragon Ball FighterZ.
How are you liking it?
This game has been out for 2 days, and I have 20 hours in it.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm almost done with the third story arc, so that pretty much should be it for there, and then I'm going to move on to arcade stuff and things like that. Mm. What's weird, though, is it's really hard to get into a casual online game. It's really easy to get into ranks, but casual, I have to wait like 5 minutes just to get one match in, and I was like, okay, I'm supposed to do 20 of these, but oh well. And then the cool part was I won my match coming from behind. I had like maybe 3 millimeters left on my final health bar, and I was able to come back from a 1-3 deficit. So I was like, okay, this feels really good right now. And it's interesting because I'm not using any Saiyans on my team except for Nappa. So it's really fun seeing like people with Saiyans like get their asses handed to them. So yeah, really liking it. Mm. And yeah, that's pretty much it. What about you, Chris?
So I've been playing Portal Knights on the PS4, which Lee would like this. It is kind of like Dragon Quest Builders, in that it is very much pulling from the Minecraft kind of style of game, very much block building and all that sort of stuff, but you're not really expected to do much of the block building itself. It's mainly about doing quests for some of the people in each of the different little areas that you're in. Not really much story to it. You kind of get a little bit from just talking to the people that are around, but it's mostly just, you know, doing these quests, which so far I've been just, oh, go get me this item, go in this dungeon and get this item that's at the bottom of it. All that sort of simple stuff, and just kind of farming a little bit in terms of just killing enemies and breaking stuff to get items to craft or so you can craft up better items and such. I got like a bronze longsword, a hammer. I got an axe for trees to make that a little bit easier, and a pickaxe for mining stuff, as well as just a bunch of health stuff. And I beat my first boss. And it's been pretty good. There are a couple of issues I have is just that the individual areas you go into are not that big. So you can kind of, if you just want to, you can just fix the portals between the different areas and just kind of zip around if you really want to, just get through quickly. But it behooves you to sort of stick around and kill enemies, level up. You have stats to increase and all that. Yeah, there's not as much like visual charm as there is in Dragon Quest Builders, which just pulls the Dragon Quest aesthetic and does a really good job of making that look real cute and clean and all that sort of stuff. Hmm. Portal Knights doesn't really have that so much. Your character is kind of a bit like the Me or Xbox avatar stuff. But you can get equipment to put on, as well as like vanity equipment that just shows over it. It just replaces it visually. So I got this area that I did where I took out a bunch of Cthulhu theme stuff. So I got like a nice little outfit of Cthulhu vanity stuff to put on, and as well as like a squid that follows me around.
Mm.
So it's got some nice stuff to it, but yeah, it's it kind of feels like you're not expected to stick around in any of these areas for very long, other than just to maybe grind up your levels, take out some enemies. Other than that, it's fine for what it is. It was on sale for PSN this week, so it was pretty good for that. Also playing some Fallout 4. They have a free weekend on Xbox and PC. So I tried out that on Xbox One X to see how that feels, and I guess it runs better than probably the original version does. But other than that, not having the 4K stuff, it still looks like Fallout 4. But I'm still pretty early in it. I was looking at some of the mod stuff, and I don't know that I'm going to delve into it too much, but because they just turn off the achievements, and for whatever reason on consoles, that feels like a potential waste of time if I'm not at least open to the
game. Wait, so if you put in mods on the console version, it turns off the achievements?
Yeah.
Oh, that's some bullshit.
Yeah, basically, if you leave one enabled, when you go to load up your save, it's like, beware, you have mods enabled, achievements have been turned off. If you don't want this, you know, go back and turn them off. That sort of stuff. So,
oh, man, that is hot garbage.
Yeah, I can definitely get why they do it, because you can get the obvious, like, God mode stuff to make all that stuff just a walk in the park. But it would be nice if they had better save management for that. So you could have, okay, this is my mod saves, these are my legit saves sort of stuff, but they're just all mixed up, and it seems like it would be really hard to manage that stuff. So basically, I would just mess around with that stuff on Steam, where nobody gives a shit about the achievements.
Right.
Yeah, because I think I've seen Steam games that literally just have like thousands of achievements. And every second you spend in the game, it just unlocks a new achievement. It's like really stupid stuff like that. But yeah, Fallout 4 is still good. But yeah, there's a lot of good radio stuff, and obviously people put like actual music on the radio stuff. So it's like, oh, here's Chris Cornell tribute radio station. Things like this. It's like, okay, this is kind of piracy, music piracy in action on this game, but obviously there's like, hey, here's Clean People, Clean Towns, all this stuff. Like, gotta get rid of the notion that anything like a nuclear bomb was dropped in this area. All that sort of stuff, but yeah, it's, the mod stuff is neat, but I wish they had better tools to help you manage that stuff. Because otherwise you just go into the store and just download and enable it, and you just have to go right back in, load all that stuff back in, and just disable it all one by one. It's not the greatest, not as easy as like Steam's Workshop stuff, where it's just like, oh, here's a list, okay, this is cool, this is cool, this is cool, and it just automatically does it. But yeah, it's been neat to jump into, and I've also been playing more Saints Row 4, just going around collecting the orbs. I think I just did all the towers that were around in that area, which is pretty easy. But I got out of the simulation and doing stuff with Keith David, who is the vice president with your character. That's been pretty much it. Just run around doing random stuff in there. But yep. How about you, Lee?
Well, I actually haven't had that much time for gaming because of everything that's been going on. But big thing, of course, I've been trying to finish up WoW because they have the last raid in place, and so I've been doing that. It's actually been my kid got into Hearthstone, so I've been playing that with him and just giving him a royal ass whooping because I don't go easy on anybody. you know, like, nothing in life's free, son. Here's a lesson. No, so I've been doing, you know, just kind of odds and ends stuff here. I've been trying to finish up The Witcher 3. I am, when I say finish, that's in air quotes. I'm just about done with the main quest line of the first, not of the first, but of the actual main game. I actually hit the point of no return, I want to say about last week. And of course, I still have all the expansions, so like I'm going to be playing this game probably until I die. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, just doing that. And then my son, like I had said earlier, has been super, super into Undertale. So, and he's like, you know, Dad, you got to play this. You got to play this. You got to play this. And so I started playing it last night on my Vita. I only got about, only got about 20 minutes into it before I passed out. But it seems a little slow to start. But, I'll be playing on my PC. He'll be playing Undertale in my basement. I have my PC, and then right behind me is my TV and my entertainment system. So I'll hear him playing. And so the one thing that I can say about Undertale, like unequivocally without having played much of the game at all, is that the music is great. And he seems to be it's just everything is Undertale now. He's making like versions of Undertale and something called Slack and all this other stuff. So it has seemed to have inspired my son quite a bit. Been playing, you know, slowly going through a Golf Story as well, and just trying to knock out some levels in Mario Odyssey. I just finished New Donk City, and the part where the mayor is singing, mm-hmm. And the fireworks are going off. Man, that was awesome.
So
like,
good.
I wish it was so good. I was like, it felt in a lot of ways like one of the, and this may just be the cynical side of me, but I remember so many people love like Mario 3D World, right? I thought it was good, but I haven't had a Mario game truly since probably Mario Galaxy make me genuinely feel like I was experiencing something new with Mario. Like I feel like Mario's become really rote for the most part. And then doing the, and even in Odyssey, like Odyssey's a well put together game, but I know all the tricks. I'm like, I know there's a star behind this wall, or I know there's a thing over here. Like you, after you've played so many of these games so long, you kind of know the tricks, you know? And, but New Donk City really took me aback. You know, because at first I got to, I was like, well, this is okay. These guys, all the humans look bizarre. And I was like, okay, well, let me see what's kind of going on here, especially with my little short ass running around and these people are 3 feet taller than me. And then you do the celebration after getting the basis and everything. And it felt very like old Nintendo, but in a good way. And then just switching from 2D to 3D and bouncing back and forth, I was just like, all right, this is actually something legitimately new that I think is cool. And it just really, really inspired and really, really enjoyed it. So I expect that's probably the high point of the game. I feel like it's probably downhill from here, but we'll see.
Nope.
No?
Oh, yeah, I mean, to me, like that was actually like probably the greatest moment in any game for me. I wouldn't say it goes downhill. Like probably it will as far as like momentum goes. Yeah. But if you do decide to beat the game, everything post-game is tremendous.
Yes. Like, you actually get to explore the Mushroom Kingdom after you finish the game. So.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm definitely – and it's great just because of the form factor of the Switch is that I can play it in bed or I can, you know, whatever. So, like, I find myself – I'll play it on breaks from work and things like that. So I've been really, really enjoying that.
Have you gotten to the point where you really have to – or have you tried the hacky jump?
No.
Yeah, like, so basically you can exploit your jump so that you can go higher and farther. And, like, you'd think it's pretty, like, hacky and exploitable, but you'll actually need that post-game, which I found pretty interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really, really, like I said, I'm really interested to see kind of how this plays out. Because this is sort of the ironic part. Like, I think Breath of the Wild is garbage. I know I disagree with everybody on this podcast, and there's no reason that should have been Game of the Year anywhere. That game sucks. The funny part is this Breath of the Wild is deceptively terrible because when you're playing it, you're like, oh, okay, because there's so many parts of it that work really, really well. But there's so many parts of it that feel absolutely regressive, like Nintendo didn't know what to do, that it's just jarring. And it should be called Breath of the Inventory System. But anyway, the thing is with that, like, the point is like, so like with Mario, I felt like for a while, like I've played this game before, right? And then all of a sudden you get to New Donk City and it's like, okay, so this is something different. I'm down with this. Whereas it seems like Zelda went the exact opposite route. They were like, everything that you liked about Zelda, we're going to throw out the window. And then, you know, the world looks cool, enjoy this, and then we're going to do everything we can to kind of make you miserable while you're in it. Like, oh, it's raining, and like the main thing you do in this game is climb. Well, too bad. Sit around for 10 minutes like an asshole. Like, just stuff like that drove me nuts. It feels like, as far as a design philosophy, that Mario wasn't designed to waste your time, whereas it almost feels like Zelda is. So I enjoy that, but I think maybe, too, it's also about the expectation that I have when it comes to Nintendo games. Like, I want them to do something new, but I don't know that I necessarily want them to change, because I don't think Nintendo does change very well. Like, when you look at Breath of the Wild, Breath of the Wild would be a great open-world game if this was, like, 2005. But it's not. It's 20 – what year is this? 2018. So, yeah, they're lacking. So, but anyway – but, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And it's cool because I can just go in and I can play it for 15, 20 minutes and actually feel like – this is Mario, where I can actually play for 10 or 15, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes and actually get some – what, I don't know. What the hell are you collecting this time? I keep saying stars. It's moons, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all the same thing. But yeah, just going back through and just – because I've started to go back through the old levels, and I heard what you were talking about, Dan Reb, with how, you know, you can go back and change a bunch of stuff. Because I've been trying to okey-doke the game. Like, let me see if I can hop on my hat and hop over here and do this and do that. I don't know if they want me to do this. But then, like, the more I started, like, messing around, I was like, I think this is exactly what they wanted me to do. And that's actually pretty cool. So, but yeah, so that's what I've been doing. A lot of Switch playing, really. If they only the Switch had Witcher 3.
I think the Switch would probably melt if it tried to run Witcher 3.
Yeah.
Dude, I know. It's actually so sad. Witcher 3 should be on everything if they could figure out how.
Yeah. So we got some dates and stuff to talk about. Real quick, we'll get through these. God of War finally got its release date on 4/20. So light up and, yeah, do some of that, I guess.
Yeah, light up some cardboard,
play some God of War.
Yeah, that is a very interesting lineup. If you're a store clerk, having to ring that up is like, what?
And now it's like hey, indie guys,
do you want to beat up gods or do you want to burn some cardboard? It's your choice, man. All right.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, indie guys, don't release around that time.
No, just
stay away.
Right. Nobody is going to pay attention to your game if you release it on the 20th of April. That's not going to happen. So avoid that. In other news, we got SNK announcing King of Fighters 97 global match on PS4, Vita, and PC.
This one came out of left field.
Yeah.
It sounds like all they're adding to it is an online mode, but it needs so much more. And I say that as somebody who loved King of Fighters 97. I think it was a definite high point game in the series.
I would not
just package it up and send it out with an online mode as it is right now. There are a lot of things that need to be addressed in just system wise before this game is ready to be unleashed to the masses as they are right now. It would be a great subject for an HD remix project, and I would be completely on board with it. But just doing a sort of a dirty port with an online mode feels like a disservice to this game. So hopefully there's more to come, because it really does deserve better.
Yeah, but I think it also shows that I think SNK is looking to actually get all of their games up on there. So, yeah.
Well, they've been.
They certainly seem interested in it.
The ACA stuff hasn't really been online enabled. It's had scoreboards, but that's it. This is more like the Last Blade 2 port that we got on the PS4, where it has, where they're actually including online play and leaderboards and all that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if all they do in this one is add an online mode to the basically just the Neo Geo version, that's not going to go over very well, because people will very quickly figure out the issues this game has.
Yeah.
That online mode will get broken very, very quickly.
I mean, I can hyperhop CD all day, but eventually that's going to get old for all parties involved.
Yeah. Still, I guess for, you know, completionist's sake, it might be worth picking up, but we'll see how they handle it.
You know what I wish they'd given this treatment to?
Hmm?
Fatal Fury Special.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
There's some Joe Higashi in my life.
So, we'll see there. Other SNK news, we got another KOF 14 character announcement. That's Oswald coming soon.
Yeah, this is to go along with that art contest character from the Middle East that we reported on about a month ago, I think it was. It's going to be another character 4-pack, and Oswald is apparently going to be the first one out the gate.
Yeah.
So there's that to look forward to.
Yeah, SNK continuing to support KOF 14, so that's very nice. Still a great game. That's actually on sale right now. If you haven't picked it up, the anniversary bundle is on sale at PSN.
Yep, that comes with the first wave of DLC characters, and we can now say the first wave of DLC characters because we've got more coming.
Yep. Also, we got here February 6th, we're going to find out the announcement for the game lineup for EVO 2018.
I think the big topic here is going to be where if Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite lands on the lineup or not.
Yeah, we'll see how much Capcom has been sucking up to Mr. Wizard.
The things he had to say about that game do not make me a fan of its chances.
Yeah. So stay tuned to that. Next week we won't be able to have those results, but the week after we will. So keep an eye on that. Then we got, for those people who have been waiting for, Trails of Cold Steel 2 for PC, February 14th.
Won't have to wait long.
Yep, Valentine's Day. Curl up with some cocoa and your loved one and Trails of Cold Steel 2 on the PC. Not much to say there.
You don't want to play that game with a loved one, but...
Well, unless you want them to not be your loved one anymore. That's coming February 14th.
I want them to port all of the trail stuff to Switch now. Since, Switch is, unlike Vita, is actually successful. That'd be dope.
Yeah, I gotta believe that Exceed is seriously looking at the Switch right now.
I feel like everybody's looking at the Switch.
Yeah.
Back when it was still the NX, Falcom was on the list of developers that Nintendo said was on board.
Yeah. I just think
East 8 is coming.
Yeah, but that's Axis being that's NIS, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's still Falcom.
Still Falcom, yeah.
So the fact that a port is happening is on Falcom.
Yeah. So where's that?
So how far are they behind in that series as far as getting them over here?
We need Trails to Zero, Trails of Azure, and Cold Steel 3.
Yeah, okay. So three behind.
And it seems like they're probably, at this point, kind of waiting to try to get that stuff on, PS4 and Switch, so they can have these modern consoles in the bunch when they start marketing those games.
Yeah.
Which means they need to start getting them onto those systems.
Yeah. Although lately we've actually started to see these older games just showing up unannounced on PS4 and Xbox One. So
Now with Stick of Truth is supposed to be getting re-released
February 13th.
That's due to their pre-order thing where you got Stick of Truth free with the new game.
Yeah.
And that went through the end of January, so now they can sell it separately. Conveniently, it hasn't been on sale for about a month or so.
I thought it was because of the backwards compatibility. I didn't realize that part of the pre-order.
No, they didn't have the code.
Yeah.
The thing is, the code actually expires on the Wednesday.
Yeah, because you got it pre-ordered or just bought it at full price. You got it alongside that.
Yeah.
I don't have time for those games anyway.
So...
going back to Trails, I don't know if there's no information, but Cold Steel 3 still hasn't been confirmed for localization. So,
nope.
Yeah.
It hasn't been confirmed, but I think it's a foregone conclusion at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they found a way to fit the Crossbell games in before them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
this would be a pretty good time to do that.
Yep.
Keep an eye on Exceed.
Yep. And finally, we got two shutdowns to report. Mitomo, remember that?
The government? Oh.
Well, three, technically. But, okay, so, yeah, Mitomo, May 9th. You won't be able to use it anymore. I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah, that's a game that died off pretty quickly.
Yeah.
As a game that needed people to actually engage with it. When they stopped.
It wasn't even a game.
No, it was kind of a social thing.
It was personal information collection system.
Yeah, basically.
It was Twitter with people. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's like, hey, tell us all your secrets. If it had been a game,
it probably would have done better.
Yeah. The rest of Nintendo's games have done really good on mobile, but yeah, that one, let's just call it what it was, an experiment, and it didn't work. So.
Yeah, I think they said they made about $3 million off of it, half on Android, so.
Yep.
It did okay as a first step, getting a lot of people on board so that then you can find out, okay, how the hell did I know this person from Mitomo?
Yeah.
Add to my friends list, like that sort of stuff.
It was just Nintendo getting their feet wet with the mobile market.
Yeah.
That end, I really don't expect Nintendo to keep pushing their Miis anymore. So.
No, I think that's gone. So, anyway. And what's also gone is Paragon, which I don't think anybody bothered to play. So
I played it. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was like one of the two MOBAs I actually liked.
It was somewhat popular among streamers.
Yeah. Because it was a bit more of a third-person shooter, in a sense, for that stuff, but also had all the kind of the complicated MOBA tactics and such to it. But I lost every single match I was in.
Yeah.
I understood how to play and all that. I just never got over that hump.
Yeah.
And they were just running like a holiday event over the holidays, so they were still pushing it. But I guess the Fortnite Battle Royale stuff is hit them so hard that they're like, why are we wasting our time on this that, you know, maybe a couple thousand people are playing?
Yeah.
Versus the one that has 40 million players.
Yeah, it's like a couple thousand, 40 million. It's not really that hard of a decision. Besides,
back to the drawing board.
Yeah, that whole MOBA market is so competitive now, it's really hard to get anywhere in that particular space. Yeah. I mean, you got Smite, you got Hell, Heroes of the Storm, Paladins. It's just too many of them to name.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and I think a lot of those companies, even somebody like Blizzard, are having a lot of trouble with just trying to do anything in the space because I think a big part of any of this competitiveness that we see in it, so with like Street Fighter or with MOBAs or anything else like that, is that there has to be a way to keep the audience engaged that doesn't feel in a way exploitative. And it doesn't feel like hardly any of these companies have actually figured that out. Whether it's somebody like Capcom releasing a game that they obviously should not have at the time just to get it out before tournament season, or, you know, in the instance of something like Heroes of the Storm, like that was a game that probably should have been launched 3 years before it actually did. If Blizzard really wanted to take a chunk out of that stuff, because, you know,
yeah, that game should have released before it was finished, just like Dota 2 and League.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's just not how Blizzard works. But when you think about like capturing that mind share, look at something like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. So much of that then they just finished that game. Isn't that what?
Yeah, it released on the 20th in December.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's not finished by
MVP. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, putting that out there and for that, I don't know. I just think that there's the type of person that plays those kinds of games where that's the only thing that they play, they have to have a reason to stick around. And a lot of these games, I think, just sort of feel stale. And then when you're trying to bring in a new person, and just like to like what Chris was saying, if you just get raffle stomped every time, then people aren't even going to stick around. And then you couple that with how toxic a lot of these communities can be, then that stuff just stops being fun, I think, for a lot of people. And that's a big part of the challenge, is how do you make it open enough that people can get a legitimate win? And then, you overcome that, then how do you actually deal with the fact that maybe your player base sucks? Yeah, it's a horrible if I was developing games, that would not be what I went into.
Yeah,
I don't think Paragon had that many people that could be toxic. I don't recall any voice chat or any text chat or anything like that.
They were just happy you were there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of people that just enjoyed the game and were happy that there were other people that also wanted to play. You know, they have all those sort of hooks in it, like, oh, play 5 matches and we'll give you a free loot crate sort of thing. Like, doing that, and then I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. But I just got killed in this match. I unlocked some stuff, and I was like, I'll come back later. Mm. And later was 3 months later.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, how do I play this again?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of these loot crate games in general are struggling as well, it looks like. Yeah. Not all of them, obviously, but that model in and of itself, I think, particularly what we saw happen with Battlefront, I think a lot of gamers have, I guess, maybe had it put to them how exploited they were being, you mm-hmm. know, and so I think that also has changed a lot of people's mind share about that stuff. Like, you know, like I play Hearthstone, and if you run across somebody that's legitimately good, their deck is so much more powerful than yours ever will be, because, you know, they've been grinding the stuff out, or they've been paying a shit ton of money and getting lucky. Yeah. And even Hearthstone itself is balanced in such a way that the transaction nature of it, to where, like, you, if you get duplicate cards and stuff like that, if you disenchant them to get dust so you can actually make the kind of cards that you want, it is so tilted against you to actually be able to make the cards that you want. I don't know what the hell they do that for. I mean, just, I guess, to keep getting people, you know, spending money. But all of these games have that problem. And Heroes of the Storm especially is one that I played for a while. And the amount of money that they want for just skins and shit is terrible. And yeah. They slowed down the, like, some of the changes they made with Heroes 2.0 is great, but they slowed down the rest of the game. So it's like you're just sitting there like, well, so what am I playing for? Like, the carrot at the end of the stick isn't even that impressive. So, and, you know, if the people are assholes,
yeah.
then what are you sticking around for? You know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Hearthstone I tried to get into a couple of years ago and found it incredibly hostile towards me trying to compete in the mm-hmm. the matchmaking stuff, trying to figure out what yeah. the meta is, what's my deck supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, how do I set up all this stuff? It's like, no, I just have to go read, you know, go to the internet and find out, like, oh, here's the best deck for this class.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not fun at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the problem with that too is that you can end up with such a mismatch of cards. Like, when you actually have a decent card set, Hearthstone's actually had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But the other part of it too is that, like, for me, with my background essentially being around competitive games, there's one of the things that frustrated me so much about Hearthstone is I don't like the randomness of it. Mm. Like, you know, I remember when I was describing this to somebody when they asked if they should get into it, I said, well, here's the thing with it, is that Hearthstone feels like a fighting game that is slow, and then you only can cast your special moves twice. And you may or may not have access to those special moves all at once. So, like, imagine playing Street Fighter, you can only throw a Dragon Punch twice. But the Dragon Punch could do, you know, whatever damage. And or imagine, you know, somebody jumps in on you and you just simply can't Dragon Punch them because you don't have the Dragon Punch card. Like,
oh, you mean Art of Fighting?
Yeah. That, in a lot of ways, that's how Hearthstone works. And it's strategic in that sense. But one of the big problems I had at the beginning was the actual getting the cards and going, God damn it, why can't I just draw this one fucking thing that I need? Why isn't it available? And so, you know, that was a big thing for me to get away from and start going, okay, well, this is – me winning is not entirely based on my skill. That's definitely a huge part of it. But if I get a bad draw, I get a bad draw. And there's just nothing you can do about that. And when I started looking at it that way and I stopped taking it seriously, I started having a lot of fun. But I think there are a lot of people out there with any of these types of games where all they want to do is play it seriously and have fun. And it's just – Pat, you know this feeling. When you fucking play somebody online in a fighting game and they get away with some bullshit that there's no way they can get away with in an arcade, you're like, I don't want to fucking play this anymore. This is awful. And it's like, it's that kind of feeling all the time. Mm. And then the people are assholes too. So – you know, at least with Hearthstone, there's no chat. Like, yeah. Nobody can be like, man, you fucked up. Shouldn't have dropped that card, dude. Well,
there are those, like, chat, like, phrases that people try to use sarcastically as they can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry.
But, yeah, so see you later, Paragon. Yeah.
Are they giving everybody their money back, though? Didn't I read that?
Yeah, they're refunding everybody back, which
they're refunding everybody.
Probably says,
really awesome.
Fortnite is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, either it was not a lot of money spent overall, you know, so those refunds can work. But the fact that they're doing that, I think, is fantastic. Like,
also, remember that game was released at retail while it was in early access.
Yeah.
So people have invisible discs that they can't do anything with. But I assume
it actually makes me wonder if, since they're giving out these refunds, whether these people are just going to be switched over to Fortnite. Because obviously, Fortnite's making a killing. And you know, even though the game has been out for more than a year, it sucks to hear about a shutdown because you know people's jobs are at stake. But if people are being transferred, you know, that's totally cool.
Yeah. The thing that's crazy to me about that is that I do feel like that's a sort of a classy thing to do when you look at like the stuff that happened around that Marvel game and a lot of these free to play games where people were just like, yeah, you invested all this money and we're shutting it down. Fuck off. Like, I think that's, you know, I at least think that's it's a remarkably decent thing to do.
Yeah. Well, Marvel, they had no money at that point. They had no money. People that were working there were basically just told, hey, we don't know if we're going to be able to sell the company or the game or whatever, so just hang out, work on your resume.
Hmm. Wasn't that company owned by Disney, though?
No. Oh, okay. No, they were independent.
All right, my bad.
Which, that's one of the cons of working on a licensed property when you're independent like that.
Yeah.
You don't own shit out of that whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're fucked.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to our bigger discussion topics of the day, and we'll start off with Microsoft Game Pass, which is actually starting to look really decent now. They made an announcement that's kind of cool, starting with...
I could not believe it.
Yeah, starting with Sea of Thieves, all of the Microsoft Studios-produced Xbox exclusives are going to end up day one on Xbox Game Pass.
This is absolutely nuts.
This is ridiculous.
I have no idea how they make money doing this. I'm
especially when you get people like me are going to be like, okay, Sea of Thieves comes out on March 20th. I'll put $10 in. I'll play that game, not spend the $60 on it, and exactly. I'll play for 1 month. That's it.
Yeah.
It's like
I'm sure there's some kind of.
I wonder if it's based on like a minimum term. Like that's what I was thinking too. Like that would be the because if you do it as a value proposition, like what? How much is Game Pass now? Is it $60?
$10 a month. $10 a month.
Okay.
I don't know that you can do. They're going to start offering at like GameStop. You can buy like a $60 code for 6 months. I don't know if they do that much in the way of lump sums.
See, I personally I'm not giving them $120 a year for that. Like, I think it's an insane idea.
Yeah. That's why I like Access because it's $30 for a year, and it's like okay, that's half the price of Madden, and I get access to all the rest of their games. You know. Like 6 months afterwards, full access.
Right.
It's like,
I'm sure the proposition for them, for most people, is like, well, if you're going to buy three of these games at retail, then you're already paying more than that. But the thing is when I buy any of my games, I don't pay retail ever. Like even if you're still buying everything day one and you have Gamers Club from Best Buy, you're paying $48. You know, so
it doesn't have the Gamers Club thing where everything in Best Buy is 20% off as far as games are concerned.
Yeah.
Here you get, I think you get 20% off for brand new games, but if they put it on sale, you don't get an additional 20% off.
Yeah.
That's the problem they have there, because they're doing the same thing EA does, which is just 10%. And it's like, that's just off of MSRP. It's like, that's not that enticing. Unless you're whole set on day one, full price.
Yeah. I mean, I still think it's bananas. It's a ballsy ass thing to do, but I don't. It's one of those things that makes me question who this is even pointed at, because I would see so many people talking about doing like what Chris has said he would do. So I'd go for a month, play the game I want to play, turn it off. Like maybe they at least look at it like, well, it's better to get $10 from these people this way, but that can't be as good as actually selling the game.
Cause some of these games I would actually do, you know, go get it at Best Buy for $48. Yeah. But now I have no reason to do that when I can just get it digital and not have to leave, not have to do any, you know, go to retail stuff.
Well, then I can just do it here. Start making games you want to keep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's all going to depend on the messaging Microsoft sends in regards to who they're actually targeting. I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, we do have Gamer Club, we do have Amazon Prime, but I wouldn't say that, you know, not necessarily the casual gamer, but the everyday gamer won't actually know that. Not to mention, maybe they'll look at it from a place where, if Microsoft publishes three games a year, it's just cheaper to get this. So it'll depend on the messaging, and it also makes me wonder whether or not Microsoft is leaning more towards being games as a service rather than, you know, your average release.
Oh, no, because they absolutely are. Yeah. I mean, this feels like a Gamefly alternative in a way with the amount of stuff that's there. And people pay $15 a month for that.
Yeah, though... they don't necessarily run out of stock on games generally. Because
a GameFi alternative with Microsoft essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it's a lot of indie games, a lot of actually like BC stuff, a lot of smaller stuff, like a lot of Namco's arcade stuff on XBLA that's in there, things like that. There's like two Xbox games. Well, no, there's one. There's Ninja Gaiden, but if you have EA Access, you get Black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, that's just another one of those weird things where it just feels like, who are they even targeting this to? And like one of the things I think about, like for a new Xbox owner. Like, that's a great proposition. Yeah. Like, having access to all of this stuff.
Yeah, if you're into it in the way that we have Netflix subscriptions, we just don't think about not having it.
Yeah, like, that in and of itself is cool. It feels like it's that sort of pie that they're trying to get a piece of. But when I think about it, like, I don't know. I think at this point, if you are in the Xbox ecosystem itself, because of how badly Microsoft's been getting their ass kicked, I feel like you are somebody that's bought a bunch of Xbox games. You're not you're not hopping in and going, oh, okay, well, let me decide between these, you know, these systems and let me see which one's going to be the best one and where the most value is going to be and stuff like that. Like, that die's already been cast. So it feels like in a lot of ways, too, this may be them essentially kind of in the way that they established Xbox Live. I remember when Xbox Live first came out, people were like, you can play two games on this. This doesn't make sense. And then they, you know, after everything matured, then you had the 360 era where it was like, oh, my God, Xbox Live is incredible and PSN is shit. Like, this feels like one of those moves where they're doing it to get the customers that they can now, but they'll probably lose some money off of, but positioning themselves for whatever comes next because they can have that in place. Mm. Microsoft seems to be a company that's doing a lot of that these days because they know that at least as far as this generation comes, even with a half step like the Xbox One X and everything else like that, that, you know, Sony ate their fucking lunch. So to me, this also feels like a positioning statement in a way for this is what we're going to do in the future.
Yeah. And then you got Phil Spencer talking a lot about, oh, there's a lot of potential in what we can do with single player games, in as a part of this whole thing, where you just pay your $10 and you get the single player game. What we can do to add on to that, and I get to a point because Phil Spencer talked about episodic games a lot early on when they announced this last year, and it's like, why weren't you guys funding this sort of game to show everybody what that can be?
That's like a proof concept, yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of been their whole problem with first party this gen is they're not really developing or things like that that keep you excited for their next games. Because we're still sitting here like, okay, you know, Sea of Thieves is coming out. That looks kind of okay. There's Crackdown 3. We don't know when that's happening. There's going to be a Halo. There's going to be a Forza. There's going to be a Gears. We just want to see what they're doing.
Yeah.
But this at the very least, like as far as Sea of Thieves, State of Decay 2, you know, I'm totally down for day one. If $10 the entry point, why not?
Absolutely. Yeah.
See, you know what's funny? I'm different than you guys because I'm worried about my data cap. I'm like, I would rather go buy a physical because I have three people in my house and I work at home. We hit our data cap every month. So the prospect of downloading 50 gigs for a game, too, is one of those things where I'm looking at it like, this is not for me.
Yeah.
No, that's not a... You know, that's not a Microsoft issue. That's a general internet issue.
Yeah, I know. But, like, that's one of those things where I'm also, like, for me, looking at it as, like, from a cost analysis, like, value proposition.
Yeah.
What, for me, I'm like, you know, I don't even know about that simply because what is that going to mean? Yeah, so I paid them $10, but am I going to have to pay fucking Comcast $10 because I've downloaded this? Like, that's one of those things. Like, that's another reason why I've stuck with physical for so long, and I probably will continue to do so. And I may be an outlier. I don't know. But that's one of those concerns that I have. If I was like a single guy living by myself or something, this would totally work. But since I have a wife and a kid who stream everything, it's a losing proposition.
Yeah, two of their premier games on the service right now is Halo 5 and Gears of War 4, which are 100 gigs each.
Yeah.
And they're just ridiculous trying to download that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like, I get the whole data cap argument, but again, Microsoft released fucking, like, what, two games a year? So,
right.
<you know. laughs> Solid.
Yeah, and the other thing I think they're trying to do is I think they want to make the concept of a demo irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this is a demo. Yeah,
it already is.
Yeah, so it's like, $10 a month, whatever. Try it out. If you like it, great. Keep playing it. If you don't, well, You didn't lose anything. You just lost that bonus, you know?
It's sort of like Netflix, where it's like, oh, there's this new thing. I don't know if I like it. I'll watch the first episode and see what it is.
Yeah.
It does feel like a future move.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this is definitely a step towards the long game. It's not like right now there's only about 100 games and stuff on the service, as Chris mentioned, but
it still makes PS Now look like shit.
I mean, the fact that you're going to have day one releases on the service just basically makes PS Now irrelevant completely. So,
well, and it is at least Microsoft attempting to play to their strengths. Like, here's a way that we can blow out the competition. Yeah. Like, because I don't give a fuck if Sony was in third place. You'd never see them make this kind of move.
No.
And you'd never see Nintendo do it either. Like, there's a fundamental shift in the way that those guys look at their IP compared to Microsoft, where Microsoft is like, it seems like their big deal is like, we just want you in the pool.
Yep.
You know? Whereas Sony is like, you got to have fucking floaties, and Nintendo is just like over on the sidelines throwing fucking mustard in people's faces, and they haven't even jumped in the pool yet. So,
very interesting news. I'll probably, when Crackdown 3 comes out, I'll probably dip into this and see if it's worth it.
So. I wonder, now that as y'all are talking about that, just because you mentioned that, Phil, this would be the last thing I say on this. I wonder, too, if maybe that's it's as of, because I'm just trying to think of like the application of this as a value proposition, too. I think Microsoft also knows that there are a ton of people out there that have PS4s and Xbox Ones, right? Like, is this a way to get them to go, man, this is cool, and I can, just like you guys mentioned earlier, like getting rid of the demo and everything, is this just a way to also go, hey, you know, $10, try this out. There are actually games here that you would like. And then, you know, sort of use that as the Trojan horse to get them, you know, back in the pool. I feel like it serves multiple things here, but that I wonder if that's also part of that decision is that we got to get these people playing on the Xbox somehow.
Yeah, I don't.
This could be a way.
Yeah, I don't know how well it's going to work. It's going to depend on whether the person is the type that buys a lot of stuff. Because when I tried out the free 1 month trial that came with my ex, I looked at the list and was like, I own that on
PS4, yeah, I did the
same
thing.
I own that on Steam, I own that already on Xbox One. And it cuts down to, like, there's a quarter of these games that I don't have. And for, like, half of that, there's a reason. It's because I'm not interested in that.
Right.
And others, it's like, I don't have to stick my Gears disc in the system anymore. Mm. At least for the
month. You also have to make your way through Microsoft's shitty UI.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is kind of buried in the games and apps section.
Yeah. I wonder how hard it'll be to find a cancel button.
Oh, it is. You have to do it online, because I got my free trial with my Xbox One X, and then I thought I canceled it, and then they charged me, and so I just – but to Microsoft's credit, their customer service is fucking head and shoulders above Sony's. Like, Sony, I don't know what the fuck they got going over there, but if there's some kind of wrong charge on your account from PSN, you're just fucking stuck with it. With Microsoft, you can call them and be like, yo, man, a fucking midget came through the window. He had a monkey with him. The monkey jumped on my Xbox, started playing shit. Next thing I know, I bought $12,000 worth of stuff. Microsoft's like, no problem, man. Like your gamer tag? We'll go ahead and get that refunded for you. It's like, oh, okay. You know, so there's definitely a fundamental difference there as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to have a very before we move on, I do want to talk a little bit about Sony's customer support, because it is goddamn awful.
Yeah.
I called them right before Arcade Edition came out, because I wanted to do the whole – I wanted to get the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I call them up and say, is there any way you can remove Street Fighter V from my account so that I can buy it again? And they were like, no, we can't do that. It's like, no, I want to give you money.
Fuck you, just so we're
just
clear.
Just go away. Yeah. And the guy was a real dick about it, too. So it was like, oh, really?
Ugh.
So, yeah, I'm not pleased with Sony's customer support. If I ever have to call them again, it will be, I'm never going to try to do that again. Yeah. It used to be good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. My last use of PlayStation customer service was pretty good. It was when they had one of their spend X amount, get this much back. I didn't get the code, so I just emailed them or did their live chat, and they were pretty helpful and got me got it back, though. I was also in this weird area where I had a lot of stuff tied to my authenticator app on my phone. Yeah. And I got a new phone, which reset all that. Doesn't keep all track of that stuff. So then I had to go through with, like, EA Access and Ubisoft and, like, hey, I set this up because it was smart. And then for whatever reason, the apps don't remember it. And so I'm locked out of my accounts. Like, oh, yeah, sure, sure. Just tell us, you know, this information. Here's the code. Let's know if that works. It's like, yep, okay. Goodbye. You want to set it back in? Fuck no. Yeah. I was like, no, I'm just going to go. Just here's my password. Just figure it out.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, they're terrible. You're the outlier on that one, Chris. Like, I think what it is for Sony is I just – so little background information. I do know how internally some of their stuff works. I can't tell you why. But a lot of it comes from the fact that their systems are just – they're basically designed as far as a point-of-sale system is designed to only sell things and not to really refund them. And that's why you typically run into issues. Like getting a code fixed is easy because they can just regenerate one. But when you have something along the lines of like, hey, you did this and – or, you know, this game is fucking trash or whatever the case may be, or, you know, somebody fraudulently got a hold of my account – Their basic core system is not set up to handle transactions that way. And it's crazy to me, and I'll tell you why I know this after the show, but it's also crazy to me that that they continue to operate in that manner. Like, it's a little stunning that yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that before with, like, a similar kind of promotion thing where I was telling them, hey, I've spent this much. I'm like, oh, I don't see that purchase. Then, like, after 5 minutes going back and forth, they're like, oh, it just updated. Yeah, we see it. It's like, what? You're sitting here arguing
bitch,
before your thing is done.
10 minutes ago it was there.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I have the code. I have the numbers, purchase numbers. It's like, that's what the proof is.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I don't see it. Oh, wait, our thing just, our slow system just updated it.
Yeah.
So those guys are like, I don't know if you ever watched SNL. It's like the Anthony Crispino dude. We're like,
I just wanted to yell at them. I'm a nerd. I did all the math. Don't fucking discount what I can add 5 plus 8, get 13.
Look, I carried the 7, motherfucker. I know how this works.
See, I specifically made these purchases so it go like 7 cents over the $100. Mm. Don't tell me I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Chris is on the phone. You know you're fucking winning. I got the abacus out right now, dickhead.
I push the calculator button on my keyboard. That's how it works.
Shit is not a game to me, son.
All right, so, yeah. Okay, this story is just weird. If you want a version of Roller Coaster Tycoon for the Switch, Atari wants you to invest to get it.
Is this
not even that? Not even that, really. So they are using a crowdfunding service called, what is it here? Start Engine, I think it's called. Investment funding service, not a actual like Kickstarter type funding service. So the minimum fund is $250, which if you're looking for potential like revenue off the back end of this stuff, that's probably reasonable. But you don't get game if you pay that much.
No. This is to get the game made.
Yeah, this is to fund them for potential profit bonuses at the end.
Then if you want the game, you have to buy it later.
Yeah,
same Atari that did the whole Atari box thing, right?
Correct.
Yeah. At $750, you get, you host
What the fuck?
You get 25% off the street price of the game.
Oh my god!
Valid for one purchase of one unit of Roller Coaster Tycoon Nintendo Switch.
Dude, this is literally
also another perk. You get your name
listed on the executive was doing cocaine and was like, "This is a great idea."
Oh, $1,500.
Well, it worked for Atari back in the day.
$1,500, you get both the perks above, plus a free copy of the regular edition of the book.
The game is not free at that point.
Art of Atari. You get like a $30 book.
You get books and shit.
The book is definitely not free. It's $1,500. Oh my god.
Oh, it's on sale for $9.36 on Kindle. $45 for hardcover.
But to be fair, doesn't this actually do entirely to a rev share of the profits?
So. Yeah, the problem is they sent this out in their newsletter, their Atari newsletter. They're asking their normal people to do this, which
you know what? There are enough gamers out there that are stupid enough. They're like, you know, I think they should charge us $90 for games. I think maybe like $250 just to make sure the game that you love gets put on a system you like. There are people out there like, you know what, I'm down. These companies need this money. I mean, the whole game industry is about to crash, guys. I mean, we got to make sure that we look out for these, you know, these publishers.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the whole Kickstarter model is the people that say, oh, I'd spend $200 to get a new, you know, Castlevania Symphony of the Night type game. And the guy, you know, shows up, says, hey, we're going to make a game like that. And it's like, okay, you can put that money down for it. The problem is when you expect those same people to be investors. Like there's...
Yeah.
And not everybody wants to do that. People just want to put in their, you know, $15-$20 and share their copy. But also, the crazy thing is the developer on this made Roller Coaster Tycoon World, which is on Steam. And that is a game I looked and it has 27% positive reviews from users.
So, I mean, it's obviously a safe investment.
And they have like a history of the series. They conveniently exclude that game from it. From 2000 and 2006 when they made Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 to 2017, there hasn't been anything since this mobile game that did really well.
Yeah, just don't look over there. I'm telling you, this is a coked up executive. It's like, so what if we do this, guys? What if we do this? I think it's a great idea. It's a great idea. I can't stop licking my teeth. We should totally put this in the newsletter.
It goes to everybody.
And it doesn't help that the mock screenshot they have for the game on Switch looks like a mobile game.
Yeah.
That seriously might be my favorite story this week.
This is just bizarre in every way possible, and I love it.
Has anything happened with that console they were working on? Are they them just saying we're crowdfunding this?
Apparently, it was a scam.
It was probably the same executive.
Yeah, so, that's why that was the very thing I asked at the top of the segment.
Yeah, so good luck with that. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice.
Hit him again. I got to hit him with the old George Bush. Won't fool me again.
All right.
This is the kind of shit that makes me love America. Just my God.
So we were talking about player bases earlier. Blizzard has one of the best and worst player bases in gaming now.
This is true.
Yeah. Jeff Kaplan was on a, you know, he does those developer videos every, I think every month or so.
Good old Tiggle.
Yeah. So he was talking about what they're doing for Overwatch. And one of the interesting nuggets in there is they are proactively going after toxic YouTubers.
Good.
I assume that they're playing their game.
Yeah.
Just taking out the competition.
Oh, hey, you're on Paladins. Oh, fuck you.
My name's Jeff Kaplan. I'm about to throw this big old edict down in the YouTube office and see what I can get done.
Yeah. This is kind of an interesting story in a lot of ways because you don't see developers really being this proactive about that kind of thing, but. Given the fact that they're doing the Overwatch League and they're very, very serious about sportsmanship there.
I think they just fined somebody else for cursing.
Yeah. So, I think they're trying to clean up, they say gaming in general. They want to be the host.
That's their mantra. Like, I don't know if any of you guys have ever watched the opening ceremonies for any of the BlizzCons. Like, the biggest thing that they always stress is, like, you guys were here. The biggest thing about, I think for a lot of people, is the Blizzard games is the community involved. Because every single, there's not, Blizzard games aren't single player. They're 100% community based. So, you know, you'll hear Mark Morheim say, like, you know, the big thing is that we're all here together. Like, look out for one another, take care of each other. And like, they seem to genuinely believe that. Like, when you hear the stuff that Blizzard does for community members and they don't publish that stuff, like they seem to genuinely care about their communities. And mm-hmm. So I think this is one of those things that extends to it. It's just that, you know, a lot of people that play Blizzard games are not good people. I know that firsthand because I play a shit ton of Blizzard games. So.
Yeah.
I imagine it helps a lot that when they just say they're toxic shit, that somebody from Blizzard responds to it and they're like, oh, sorry, I didn't actually mean that, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, knowing that somebody is
actually. When you see that blue post show up.
Yeah.
People are like, oh fuck, okay.
All the rats just fled.
Yeah. He said in the video that since they've added the reporting tools to Overwatch, reports have gone up about 20%, and the actual toxic behavior has dropped about 17%. So there is some effect. It's still early steps, but there's still some mm-hmm. effect happening here.
I actually would like to see other developers fall their stead, to be honest.
And this isn't about censorship. This is just about being a decent person, for Christ's sake.
Be honest. I mean, this is Blizzard, so I mean, Activision can also get on this with Call of Duty.
But they won't because they're terrible.
Yeah, they're just fundamentally completely different led companies as far as that goes.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, because it's not just a problem in Overwatch. It's a problem in gaming in general.
Yeah, it's a problem with everything.
Popular multiplayer game.
We let it fester for far too long and just ignored it. Now look where we are.
I would love to see Capcom just declare war on this whole call-out, pop-off culture that's going on in the fighting game community.
Yeah.
Put that to bed.
Yep.
Well, and you know what, though? But that's also mainly, I mean, that, unfortunately, and Pat, you know this as well as I do, a lot of that is just because of the way that fighting games are. Like, I mean, you have, it's going to sound so ridiculous to people that don't actually play fighting games, but there is a level of machismo in the fighting game community that I haven't seen anywhere else. Like, nobody's, like, trying to swing a big dick around when they're playing Magic the Gathering, you know, but, like, this idea that, and so much of it with fighting games is because you are, particularly if you go to a tournament setting, you are around so many people, and that just makes a difference. Like, where you can, like, what was that shit with K-Brad?
And Wolf Crone, yeah.
Yeah, K-Brad.
The douchiest thing that ever happened.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, is you could see, like, you remember the old Viscant video where he went against low-tier douche or whatever the fuck his name is? Where you could see K-Brad in the background, like just sitting there, like, sipping. Like, and I guess he insinuated it was, like, fucking Haterade and shit. And just, like, there is that inherent piece of fighting game culture built into the way fighting games work. And I don't think Capcom will ever say anything about that. And because the thing is, if they do, I think that part would affect their bottom line. The difference between them and, like, Blizzard is that – and this, again, not trying to sound like a fucking asshole here, but – women also don't really play that many fighting games. Women play a shit ton of Blizzard games. And so mm-hmm. I think when you bring in that component, it's really important for a company like Blizzard, who obviously cares about being inclusive and things like that, to also create a place that doesn't feel hostile.
Yeah. Right.
And Blizzard doesn't make many one-on-one games.
No,
it's usually cooperative, at least team on team.
Right, and the thing is what's shocking, too, is that when you start digging into their numbers and stuff, there are a ton of women that play Blizzard games, I think more so than any other set of online games that I've ever seen. And so I think that's the other part of it when you look at, you know, not just trying to do the right thing, but trying to create something as an inclusive environment. I mean, like, just look at the stuff that they've done with the Overwatch characters and the characters that exist in that universe. It's actually pretty insane, like, that they have an Indian woman and they have someone who is gay. But is done in, like, a very positive manner. Like, you don't see that kind of stuff in general. And you couple that with the fact that Blizzard, again, every single one of their games is multiplayer. Like, they have a vested interest in actually trying to make sure that people want to jump into the pool, so to speak, and stay there because people aren't assholes. And people won't stay there if people are assholes.
Mm-hmm.
So. Whereas it seems like when you take a look at something like a Call of Duty or anything else like that, there, I think to a certain extent that behavior is expected, more so than something else. And I think a lot of that comes down to how the company is presenting itself and frankly what it expects of its community. And so Blizzard should definitely be applauded for that. But I'm not surprised to see them being the ones that are doing it. I don't think you'd ever see somebody like Activision do it because they don't give a fuck.
Yes. And this is also just an important reminder, I think, to younger gamers. Real life is not 4chan.
Mm-hmm. That's true, too.
If you act like you do inside 4chan in the real world, you will face the consequences.
Yeah.
So, all right. So,
I'd still be totally on board with Capcom declaring war on that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm not. Oh, yeah. Just for the record, I'm not saying that I wouldn't be. But
yeah,
that's one of the reasons why I stopped being as interested in the fighting game community, because it just feels like everybody's looking for that moment. Like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to show up on stream, or I'm going to be known for blah, 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 rather than actually being like, no, we're actually just here to play games, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They think they're going to have an impact on the general community.
Yeah.
Rather than just being the random person on just playing one game out of millions.
Although, right. Lee, I do hope you still get involved in what I'm working on right now, because you'd be a great influence on it.
Oh yeah, no. I'm definitely down.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Yeah,
yeah. Moving on, we got interesting news from Sanwa Denshi. They were selling what looked like fight stick prototypes at Evo Japan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were very bare bones, very Spartan in their design. But this was Sanwa making their own fight stick out of their own parts.
Mm.
Would turn the fight stick market on its head overnight if they decided to go into mass production on these. Because they could undercut everybody.
Yeah,
because
everybody's putting their parts in their sticks.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, instead of being the middleman and letting the companies like Mad Catz or Hori or whoever have that markup, they could have it themselves.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't see fight sticks themselves becoming any less expensive, but
I can see them going back down to the 130, 150 range that they were, back around the time of Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, yeah, I think that was a huge misstep by Mad Catz. Getting into that, let's drop 200 bones on that. Like, there is a general floor and ceiling for a lot of people when it comes to what they will actually pay for. And especially at that time, when everybody was still in the the economic recession, like dropping $200 on a fight stick, son. And I have like 12 fight sticks. I'm a guy saying that.
So, it's good news. I kind of like the design that they've got there, though. It's
just
the fact that it's that sparse, very.
If they made one for Xbox One, I would buy one right away. Yeah. I don't need a PS4 stick. I do need an Xbox One stick, and that would definitely be at the top of my list.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that. It's also possible that that was just a one-off thing that they did for Evo Japan.
Yeah, but it sure doesn't look like one.
But
especially with I guess Mad Catz is around again, but
But they have no interest in fighting games at the moment. What it looks like,
exactly. Yeah.
So, sorry about that. And finally, our last story of the day. Square Enix has made a new acquisition, and it's Yuji Naka.
Yep.
This is interesting. I'm not sure what kind of role he's going to play there, or if Square Enix is just going to get into the platform market somehow, but this is an interesting hire, to say the least.
Well, remember, Sonic Team were the ones who made Phantasy Star Online. So
that is true.
Mm-hmm.
It's not out of his wheelhouse, is what I'm saying.
Not out of his wheelhouse to be there. Also, he's not just a one-trick pony. He's not just about platformers. He's not just about RPGs. Yeah. He's a very talented person in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What if you bring back some older Square Enix IP and give that to him. Let's say, I don't know, ActRaiser reboot?
Ooh.
Headed by Yuji Naka?
Brave Fencer Musashi?
Or Shiki anything Densetsu? That Square's abandoned. Yeah.
But ActRaiser in particular, because... God damn, it's been so long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
World looks great from over here, guys.
So... we don't know anything really what department he's going to end up in or the like, but I'm sure we'll be hearing quite a bit from him in the next few months. Possibly E3, we'll probably figure out where he's ended up, and
at least by Tokyo Game Show.
Stay tuned to that. Expect some interesting things from Square Enix in general. So They've been very busy lately.
Yes.
And Kingdom Hearts 3 is still not out. I'll just point that out.
No.
Yeah. So, anyways. Okay, so with that, let's get into our picks of the week and wrap this puppy up. I'm going to cop out this week and make my pick Mad Planets because it's awesome. So I've linked to a video so you can see what kind of game it is. Check it out. It looks great. It sounds great. It's awesome. So... that's my pick, Mad Planets. How about you, Pat?
I've kind of decided that I'm happy with where we are in the development of WorldWarriors.net. I think next week we'll be ready to pull the curtain back on it a little further and go into greater detail on what it is we're really up to with the site. And so look forward to that. It's been a lot of fun to put together, and we're continuing to build on it as we speak. This is definitely going to be a sort of different type of community for the fighting game community as a whole, that we used to have to greater effect, but we've kind of lost along the way. So, look forward to more news on that. I'm just really hype about bringing it to you. So I will have more to talk about next week.
Alrighty.
That's kind of a cop out on my part, but
fair enough. Lee?
I'm gonna say Witcher 3. It's always Witcher 3. If you haven't played this game, what's wrong with you? It literally has everything. And if it doesn't have what you want in it, you can just mod what you want into it. It's fantastic. You should play it. It was gonna be my game of the year, but Dan Rev wouldn't let me do that.
Yeah,
because it was
actually just to correct that, if you're playing it and you don't find what you're wanting, just wait a little bit.
You'll find it. Everything is there. Christ, I even found a side quest that was using acronyms like DRM, and it was the DRM quest was actually you trying to break into a tower that had this, like, I don't even remember what it was, like demonic regiment, some shit like that. But it was, it ended up being that the initials were DRM. And so the DRM was preventing you from getting in the tower, and you had to get a code to unlock it so you could get past the DRM. Like, that's the awesome. Game is fantastic. It's fantastic.
Right.
Plus, you can, like, buy it anywhere for $20, like, with everything involved. Like,
you can go and get it and get the game and all, and both of the expansions all for, like, $20. So.
Yep.
But, mine pick of the week is Xenogears, specifically its soundtrack. It's getting a remaster.
What?
Yep, they're remastering the Xenogears soundtrack.
Yes, in order.
And those
why
you
ever
remember,
would they do that?
That soundtrack was pretty amazing.
Yasunori Mitsuda is a stunning man.
But why are they doing it? Well, it could be because they're getting ready to maybe redo Xenogears, or maybe they're getting ready to
or finishing it.
Yeah, really.
But that's my pick.
That is fantastic, Brandon. I had no idea that was coming out.
All right. I guess Dan Reb's next.
My pick of the week is going to be Super Mario Serial, if you can find it.
Leave it to Nintendo to be able to start a cereal shortage. God!
So for those of you that don't know about it, not only is it a cereal, it's also an amiibo, and it'll get you 4 coins. But the cereal itself is actually pretty good. It's basically Lucky Charms, but the marshmallows are fruit flavored, which I've never experienced before.
So it's not the same cereal that they did in the 80s.
No.
No. I need mine. I need mine. That was the super cereal system. This is ridiculous.
So what is stopping you from like taking your Switch? Well, I know what's stopping you. Nintendo fans are fucking insane. But I was gonna say, what's like stopping you from actually going and like just taking your Switch and scanning it, like scanning the box?
I don't think anything is stopping you from doing that. I looked in the box. There's a sticker there which represents the Amiibo. So I think, yeah, you should be able to just bring your Switch in and scan it again if you can find it.
Yeah,
that's the key part, right? We're going to be fucking finding some doomsday preppers in 20 years after the bombs have dropped that have Nintendo cereal systems and shit. Man, the Amiibo stuff, like...
But again, it's 4 coins. I mean, you lose less when you die, so...
Yeah, well, that's not much of a proposition, right? Like, oh, you get 4... How many times can you scan it, though, is the bigger question.
I think they're all once a day, aren't they? I don't even know about that.
There's that one guy that's patiently going through it.
That would be interesting if it just registered as a generic Amiibo that you could use in any of the games that had that support.
What I want is fucking cereal box as an Amiibo, like in the new Smash Brothers. Like, let me whoop someone's ass with the cereal box.
You already got. Isn't the Wii Fit trainer in there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like that fits perfectly.
Yeah.
When you talk to Uncle Amiibo in Mario Odyssey, normally they'll identify, like, oh yeah, that's a Yoshi Amiibo. Oh, that's a Bowser Amiibo. When you scan the cereal, it'll say, oh, that's the Delicious Amiibo.
That's okay.
Here's the Sugar Amiibo.
I have my Mario currently running around in a Bowser costume in Odyssey. It's great. The Bowser Amiibo is heavy enough. I seriously think if you threw it at someone's head, it would do some serious damage.
Yeah,
it's pretty impressive, the heftiness.
It has is this the pimp Bowser?
It's a pimp Bowser. Bowser in a pimp outfit, exactly. It's a stunning piece of work. I didn't think Nintendo was in the pimp game, but learn something new every day.
All right, Chris. You got?
So we'll be starting a new video series on Smash Pad YouTube this week, which I am tentatively calling right now 10 Tons of Switch, which is looking at all of 10 Tons games on the Switch, because they've released all of it as of this past week, which is quite a bit more games than you think. Basically, if you know that row screen on the Switch, the home pad, it covers all of that into the folder in the back, so it's quite a bit of games. We got codes for each of those games. So I took some time redeeming them, which was weird to try to figure out how to do that on the web, because it's not easily accessible. But yeah, once I redeemed it, just automatically downloaded that stuff. But yeah, we'll be starting off with, I think I'm doing Tennis in the Face this week, which is... one of those physics puzzler, yeah. It's one of their silly, like physics puzzler things, kind of like Angry Birds, but not quite that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you're playing as like a disgraced Andre Agassi that got addicted to some sort of weird drug that got kicked out of tennis and is coming back by just knocking out cops with tennis balls and shit like that, like. It just escalates in really silly ways.
This sounds like this was also done by the executive at Atari.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think these guys are Swedish. I'm going to look that up real quick.
That explains a lot.
They don't have their own wiki page. That sucks. Let me just look that up. If I can type it, not 100 tons. 10 tons. Yeah, they are in... no, company. That's what I want. They are... damn it, they don't even tell me here. I think they're
very
Swedish.
Secretive.
I think there's some European... no, Finland. Finnish.
Hmm.
Yeah, so...
That explains it a bit.
Yeah, they come out really weird things. They have, like, two different types of output. They make casual puzzle games, or they make, like, dual-stick shooters.
Hmm.
And both of them are pretty neat. Some of the casual stuff is not that exciting as somebody that's already played games like that stuff. Like their Sparkle games are not amazing, but they are what they are. But they got a new one coming out, just released on Steam. It's called Tesla vs. Lovecraft. It's a dual stick shooter. That actually might be able to tell. It's dealing with this eternal battle between Tesla and Lovecraft. You play as Tesla's side, shooting down Lovecraftian enemies coming at you constantly. It has some pretty cool stuff with it.
Yeah. I like these guys because they're just completely nuts.
Yeah, they're just interested in what they're interested in making. They don't really care what you have to say about it.
Yeah.
But they make some cool stuff like Spellspire, which if you play Letter Quest Remastered, it's like that. But it's less... Letter Quest is more Scrabble. In a sense, Spellspire just gives you a set of letters and you just got to keep constantly picking out new words out of it, so it's kind of anagram-ish.
Okay.
Which occasionally I use an anagram solver to get good words out of it. Because they give you some really challenging stuff. It's like, this guy kills you in one hit, so I need a good word.
Yeah.
Need good words. I don't have the best words like our president.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll call it a day. I think we've had a rather intriguing show, I would say. Mm-hmm. So, remind you, if you're not subscribed to the program, you can do so on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast aggregator. Also, check us out at smashpad.com, where we've got written content and pretty soon video content as well. So look forward to that. So with that, I am Filippo D'Onofrio.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Daniel Victorio.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm apparently the only one that was paying attention that we were ending the show.